Well, let's open our Bibles this evening as we do, as directed by the Spirit of God. Let's go to John 3:16. And let's read verses 16, 17. Actually, this evening, let's read 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things that we've shared in past lessons, in the past lessons that we've had on healing, is how are we going to know what the will of God is? Well, we're going to find it from the Word of God. We're going to find His will from God's Word. We're not going to find it from people's experiences, because their experiences, now it's a good thing that we can sometimes include experiences and point people to the Word of God to support that, but you cannot base God's will based on my own experience. You can't. You can't base it on somebody else's experience. You're going to have to find out what God's will is from the Word of God. Because so often, there are people that will say, well, you know, we're not sure if it was God's will to heal them. Well, it must not have been God's will. Or he must have been working something out, or it must have been his time. See? And we have all of these little sayings that we have, but a lot of times it's just based on things that are not scriptural. And what we need to do is find out what is the Word of God say, and then, as F.F. Bosworth wrote in his book, faith begins where the will of God is known. So when we know what the will of God is, we can have faith for that. Or faith for God to do something on our behalf. Now, along with that, we've all shared in other lessons that when we know the will of God, and knowing also includes reading it, but also there has to be a rhema. There has to be an unfolding or a knowing, you see. So that knowing also is where faith begins. When you know something, you take it. It's not something that you're just grasping from your mental aspect. So when you know something, when you know it, you say, I'm taking that and that's mine. And you're not moved by how you feel. You're not moved. You could be hurting, but you say, I've got it and I know I have it. And it really doesn't matter what I'm walking through, but I know I have it. And it doesn't matter in this case where sickness and disease, it does not matter what a doctor says. It really doesn't, because you've got it and you know you have it. And that's what I'm talking about, that it's not mentally assented to. It's not, yeah, I know I'm healed. God says I'm healed and blah, blah, blah. And Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. No, you know that you're healed. And that's the difference. That's the rhema of God's word. Now, how does one... That's where it says, the entrance of his word or the unfolding of his word brings light. And where is that light? That light is in the inner man. And so when light comes, there's a connection. There's a spiritual connection, and faith comes about. And that's why we can say at that point, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. That faith is the evidence of things hoped for or expected. So my hope rests on, it sits on this ground, this foundation, this hope, this expectation says, oh, no, no, I know I'm healed and I'm expecting it to change. And it does not matter what I see, because I'm walking by faith and not by sight. See, and that's the difference. Because what can happen is if we don't have that revelation, that knowing, when something comes up, we're going, well, I sure hope so. Well, no, that's not an expectation a pronouncement. That's like, boy, whew. You know, it's like this. Okay. All right. We're going to get through this. Take a deep breath. And no, that's not faith. If you're in faith, then there's no fear. Fear of what someone says, fear of what it looks like, fear of what you see, and the things that start to play with one's mind. It's down here. And I'm not saying that those thoughts don't come. I'm not saying they don't try to grip your mind and play with it, but down here, you know. Amen. And you don't say something to the contrary because you know. And that's the difference. So when we know the will of God, then we have faith. And so that's where, and you can't base, see, that's where I'm trying to express here. Faith comes, the God kind of faith comes from what? The Word of God. It doesn't come from my experience. You can't have the God kind of faith having me tell you a testimony. You can get encouraged, you can get excited, but the God kind of faith that you need is going to come from the incorruptible Word of God. Amen. Isn't that true?
Yes.
So, I mean, you can get excited. You can say, glory to God. He did it for him. He's going to do it for me. Okay? But the God kind of faith is going to come from the Word of God, which is where you're going to find the will of God. Not from what happens in people's lives. And that's all good. But we need to have our foundation built upon that rock which cannot be moved, which is the Word of God, which is the will of God. So we've shared all of these various scriptures, and you can certainly go back and listen to them. One of the things that this particular scripture kept coming up in my heart this evening, and I thought I would just share that, James 1:17, as we start this lesson this evening, but this particular scripture just kind of kept coming up, so I thought, well, let's just share this. Actually, I'll share that. You go there, but I'm going to read also Ephesians 5:17 while you're turning to James 1:17. But I'm going to read Ephesians 5:17. It says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we have a responsibility to not be unwise, but to know what and to understand what the will of the Lord is. And I like the Amplified in the Message. It says, therefore, do not be vague, thoughtless, and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping. See, firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Well, to me, firmly grasping means I've got faith. See, I've got faith. I've grasped a hold of that. See, and the Message Bible, it says, don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. I like that. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. Now, did you all get to James 1:17? Okay. I like this. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And of course, when you read this in other translations, variableness just means no changing. It says variableness means to change, but this means no variableness. So when there's no variableness, it means no changing. He doesn't change. So if he says it's his will to do something, it says here, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no changing. None. Zero. Nada. How else do you say that? Zippo. Zero. Donuts. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. If he said it, he meant it. If he said it's my will to heal, there's no changing. There's no, well, maybe he, no, he didn't. He said it, he meant it. That's it. See. And I think it's important that we grasp that. Keep your finger there. And there was another scripture that came up when that did, was Malachi 3:6. Said, for I am the Lord, I change not. I like that. I am the Lord, I change not. Well, that's just exactly what it said in James 1:17. He doesn't change. And so we can count on him. If he said it, then he'll do it. Hallelujah. The New Living Translation says, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven, in the heavens. He never changes. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He doesn't change. The Good News Translation says, every good gift, every perfect present comes from heaven. It comes down from God, the creator of the heavenly lights, who does not change. So that means no variableness. He doesn't change. So you can place your trust in a God that doesn't change. If he told you something that he was going to do in your life, then count on it. And the only person that can disrupt that or alter it or change it is who? Me. I'm the only one. He doesn't change. Man may change, God does not change. And so it's important to get that firmly down in your heart, because when winds of life blow, when trouble comes and wants to present itself to you, and God gives you a solution, or he's given you his promise in his word, he doesn't change. And those circumstances have to change. They must change. And so I just thought I'd share that. I thought it was good to meditate on it. The Dewey Reams says, with whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. He does not change. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. I like that. You can put your head down at night and go to sleep and know he doesn't change. He's good. He's a good God. This evening, I'd like to look at some scriptures in the Gospels, looking at the ministry of Jesus. just in the Gospels, looking at a few scriptures, looking at the ministry of Jesus, and this may be familiar territory, but for me, I like to go over it because the more you get that down in your heart, it's watering seed that is already there. And I'd like to do that. Let's turn over to the book of John, and let's look at John chapter 14. Familiar scripture, John chapter 14. And you're familiar with this. Starting in verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Meaning it would satisfy us if you show us the Father. He said, Jesus saith, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And then let's back up to John 8, John chapter 8, and look at verse 28. John 8, verse 28. 28 and 29, actually. But that's not the scripture I want. Well, I'll read it. You tell me where it is because I mismarked it. Anyways, I'll read it. It says, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. Is that correct? Yeah, I did have it right. Okay, right. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So he does nothing of himself. So if you've seen Jesus do something in his ministry, then who was doing the work? The Father. So you can know from that it was his will. So if he healed them all, then it was the Father's will to heal all. Amen. And that's what we're going to do. So we can see that just from these scriptures, we can see that if it was Jesus not doing the work, if it was the Father working through him, and he was not doing it of his own accord, but it was directed and unctioned by the Father, then everything Jesus did was a revelation of the Father. Was it not? And it was not only a revelation of the Father, but it was a revelation of the Father for all people, for all time. Is everybody home or are they sleeping tonight? And the reason I say that is because God is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for one and he did it back in that time, then he'll do it again for us in this time. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He doesn't change. He says, I change not. So that means if he healed all during Jesus' ministry, and it was the Father, and that was the expressed will of the Father, then he'll heal all today if they believe, just like they did during that time. They came to Jesus to be healed. And just that way, when they received that, they were healed. So we can see here that it is a revelation of the unchanging will of God. He doesn't change. See, it's the unchanging will of God. And it's a revelation of the Father, of the unchanging will of God for all men, for all time. Isn't that true? Yes. Amen. Does that bear witness with you? Yes. Amen. If it doesn't, well, just feed on it in a while and it'll become rhema. It will. I mean, some may just say, well, I'm not sure about that. They may be hearing it for the first time or processing it. The things I've heard, I had to process a little bit. But if you'll just keep feeding on it and go over it and just study a little bit, you'll see that so. Now, let's start this evening. Let's go over in the book of Matthew and let's look at chapter 4. And there's a few scriptures here that we can start to look at. In Matthew 4, and let's look at verse 23 through 23 and 24. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching. So he was teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, all various types, I guess you could say, various diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed some of them. No, it says he healed them. Who were the them? All that came. So, you can see here, let's not just read over this, but if all came, and all were healed of all manner of diseases and torments, if Jesus did this at the direction of the Father, then it is an unchanging manifestation of the will of God. So that means you can't say, well, we're not sure if it's God's will to heal today. Because then you're saying God changed, aren't you? That's what you're doing. See, and don't let people feed that kind of stuff and say, well, we're not sure. Yes, we are sure. We're absolutely sure, because if he changes in this time frame, then he changed. And then God would be a liar, and he's not a liar. And he doesn't change. So if he healed, and the other question you have to ask is this. Is it possible that the people that came, you think maybe they might have been living a perfect life? No, I don't think so. You think? You think folks are coming raggedy? Did he heal them?
Yes.
He healed them all. Do we have accounts and testimonies even in this time, this dispensation? Do we have accounts of people coming that have been healed?
Yes.
In various states? Yeah, they are. God's mercy and grace is poured out upon all. Now, I will say this, you know, and we're going to get into, I believe, I'm sensing that we're going to open up, I'd like to walk through other facets of healing where there may be reasons or hindrances in someone's life to hindering something going on in their life, and specifically healing. So there can be some hindrances there, but I would say this. If you are walking in all the light that you know, then the blood of Jesus cleanses you and continually cleanses you of all unrighteousness. If you're walking in the light that you have, it says, he that knows to do good and doesn't, it's sin. So if you're walking in all the light that you have, then you are walking in righteousness and holiness. And there could be something that would hinder. And I'm not going we're not going to go through that this evening. But you can see here all sick people that were taken with divers torments were brought to him, and all were healed. All were healed. So you can see here that it was God's will to heal all. Back then and today. And no one should question. Now, I would say this. You reach out and take something of God by faith. I did. And it's on, and you stand in faith until God directs you some other way. You understand my point? If he gives you a scripture to stand on, then you take that scripture and stand on it until he reveals or unfolds something different to you. But you don't let experiences and what you're seeing direct you otherwise. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 8. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8. And verse 16 says, when the even was come, they brought unto him, Jesus, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed some that were sick. It says all. My book says all. That it what? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So you can see here, all were healed. Not one was missed. And as we saw in the previous scripture we said, we highlighted here in the scripture, all manner of sicknesses and diseases, all types, all varieties and kinds of sicknesses and disease. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And let's look at verse 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. And it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Is it the will of God to heal every type of sickness and every type of disease? Yes. The scripture says so. And let's look at you're right there. We'll look at the beginning of chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits. And that word power is exousia. And he gave them power against unclean spirits to do what? To cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So that means every kind or variety of sickness and disease, they were given power from the Lord, his 12 disciples, to heal. So we can see here, it is God's will to heal. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and let's look at verse 14 and 15. It says, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes. How many know how much a multitude is? I'll help you out. A multitude is about 1,000. And so a multitude, well, you can look it up. I'll give you some references here. Multitude is thousands of people. In Matthew 14, 15 through 21, it says, a multitude of people. And in that scripture reference, they referenced 5,000 people, besides women and children. And then in Matthew 15, it says they referenced a multitude, and that was 4,000 men besides women and children. So when we reference a great multitude, we're talking about tens of thousands. So here you can see, he withdrew himself from thence, and what? Great multitudes. That must have been a sight, wasn't it? Tens of thousands of people in these villages coming out. It must have been the whole villages coming out. And the word's out, Jesus is going this way. We're all going. The city's emptied. You could just see it. Cities emptying out and walking. That had to be a sight. I mean, if you saw whole cities getting out and not on foot, we'd have car, we'd have traffic jams. Where are we heading? I don't know, but there's this healing service going on over here. It'd be on the news, wouldn't it? And all the social media, man, there's a clog up. What's going on? Those days are coming. It's going to be on the news. But this said here, great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Tens of thousands of people. He healed them all. He, Jesus, healed them all. So, in those tens of thousands of people, that's what I'm saying. Do you think there were some that were raggedy? Didn't, as far as people were concerned, didn't earn a healing? Or didn't merit a healing? I'm sure there were. But he had compassion upon them, and he healed them all. And you can see here in Matthew 14, Matthew 14 and 14 says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion, and he healed their sick. It means he healed them all, a great multitude. Quite a sight. Now let's look at Matthew 15. And let's look at verse 30. Matthew 15 and verse 30. Well, let's start in 29. And it says, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, tens of thousands, came unto him, having with them those that were what? Lame, blind, dumb, maimed, that means they had arms and legs missing or ears missing or whatever, eyes missing. They were maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. He healed them. A great multitude. And when you think about this, he's given us dominion and authority in this dispensation. What does he say? And these signs shall follow them that believe. What? They shall do what? In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall shake up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We should be laying hands on the sick just as Jesus did. And seeing the same results. They healed them all. They could say about this church, they healed them all. Anybody that came to this church or any other church that believes God, any church that believes God, anybody coming in with a sickness or infirmity left being healed and restored. Or those that came in blind, maimed, blind, maimed, and mute, leaving restored. Because it's possible. It's not only possible, it is the will of God. It is the will of God. And I'm setting my sights higher and higher that when we come in, that the compassion of God would be in manifestation in such measure that no one leaves without having their need met physically. And we need to raise our sights high, not just for ourselves, but the people that are coming, that the compassion of God. Because what is it? It is the manifestation. You know, people are saying, I want to experience God. Well, when they experience the compassion of God, they are experiencing God. They're walking out having had a personal experience with the living God. And that's what you even read, what happened. It got the rulers of those days real upset because they said they're all chasing after Jesus. And they got upset. But the people's needs were being met because of the compassion and mercy of God. And let's look at a few more scriptures. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And let's look at verse 40. Verse 40. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. It says, now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, Jesus. And he laid what? His hands on every one of them. Every one. And healed them. So no one went away not getting what they came for. They didn't leave disappointed. Not one. Everyone that came to receive, received. Boy, I tell you, I don't know if your faith is being stirred like mine, but my faith is being stirred right now because we've lived too far below the walking in all that God, all that Jesus has done. We've not really extracted from God or taken or received from God, all that's been done, every one of us should not be walking in any sickness or disease or malady. None of us. Now, I've walked in it in my life. And, you know, again, there were reasons I shared with you. I violated some natural laws. You know, you're going to reap what you sow. And so I did some things to my body that weren't correct years ago. And it wasn't because, if it wasn't for the mercy of God and His Spirit speaking up on the inside of me, I'd be dead. Dead as a doornail. Or a doorknob, or whatever you want to call it, I'd be 6 feet under. And I'm saying so because it was not a pleasant time to walk through, but if He hadn't have spoken, He said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. And so if it wasn't for His voice and Him giving me some direction and some natural guidance, I wouldn't be here. And see, we can all get over into doing some natural things that may be violating natural laws and then working against spiritual laws in your life. You see, we're believing God. I was. For a full year, nothing changed. It was getting worse. I didn't voice it because I knew if I start voicing stuff and releasing words, I knew well enough to not do that. But as I began to, after a year, I'm saying something's not right. I've believed God and gotten supernatural results in my body. I have on many occasions. So when something's not, you're not seeing something after a period of time, you need to step back and say, God, did I miss it here somewhere? And get quiet. So thank God He did speak, and thank God it got corrected. And I know some things in the natural, but that's what the book Christ the Healer has it right in there. Violating natural laws can be a reason why one does not receive healing. Can be. But that, in the sense of, does not alter God's will to heal. You understand my point? I was working against His will by doing dumb stuff in the earth. And He couldn't work in my life because I was doing something naturally to fight against it. You see what I'm saying? So it wouldn't work. And so sometimes, you know, when something like that happens, you see, if I had passed off the scene, people said, oh boy, isn't that so sad? Well, we rejoice. He was a great guy. Blah, 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 blah. Must have been his time. Wrong. He was a dodo. He did some dumb stuff. You understand what I'm saying? And people fit in all of these kind of little things which are not true. See? And because you don't know a person. You don't know what's going on. We had a conversation this week with a dear person working through some things. And you know, this is one of the things I'm finding when people are working through some life-threatening things going on. It's good to just sit down and talk, not be quick to give scripture. I'm going to shut up and just listen. Just listen, hear him talk for a bit, and then get everybody settled down and then just say, do you really want to live? Oh, yes. Oh, you do want to live. Okay. So you're not ready to go home. No. Not ready. Okay, God will heal you right now. But in discussing and talking with this dear precious saint, they started to share some things that they used to say when they were a young child. And it would amaze you. They said some things that I said, well, that's good that you're sharing that. I said, God's not mad. I said, God's not mad at you. He'll heal you. And we're going to lay hands on you and believe God for the healing power to be released. And it was. And they sensed it and felt it. And they took hold of it. And I said, you don't have to die in this place. You're going to walk out of here. And I said, you just need to change those words. And this person said, well, I stopped saying that a long time ago. But they said, this is what they said, I think I have cancer. See? And you don't know what you may have said to start something. You don't know. Because faith is a seed. Faith will work like a seed, and you can start something in your body by words that you speak. You have creative power with faith-filled words. And so we need to be, I did things like that. Years ago, before I was saved, I said stuff. And you keep saying stuff, and you put things into motion. And so we just need to be conscious of that. But just like Brother Hagin said, when he was praying for this person, you may have heard the story, he said that this person was dying, they were unconscious, they were on their deathbed, and he knelt by their bed for a day or so and just was praying. And he sensed, he said, Holy Ghost, you're not hooking up with me. He knew the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said inside of him, and no one, I'm not. He said, this person has put spiritual laws in motion, and they cannot be reversed except by this person. So God is not going to override words that you've spoken. If you've put some things in motion, the only person that can stop it, change it, reverse it is you, not God. If you spoke and said, because if that were the case, see, if you said, I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord, and God had the ability to override your will, then he could decide, well, I don't want him to go to heaven. Or if a person said, I don't want God in my life, see, God cannot override your will. And he cannot override the words that you speak. When you put words in motion, only you can reverse them. And so that dear saint went home to be with the Lord. So it's a good thing when we talk with folks, if they're going through a tough spot, don't be quick to just rattle off healing scriptures. Because a lot of times they'll parrot back, yeah, I know that scripture. Yep, right. I know that. And there's no connection. Because the connection has to be in the heart. All right. The connection has to be something that they hear that they go, yeah, I got that. Yeah, I want to live. I'm coming out of here. See, but if you see this look like, yeah, I know that scripture. Yeah, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Yep, right. Sometimes there's no heart connection. And they're just really just placating you. You see? So it's good sometimes to just listen. Listen to someone. They could be very tired from fighting sickness. And you're just rattling off a bunch of healing scriptures. But they're physically tired. And sometimes you need to hear from the Spirit of God as to just exactly what to say to get a heart connection, because they can come through it. Even after they're tired, because the joy of the Lord can be their strength and can just infuse them with the Spirit of God to come through that and out of it. And we've heard stories of many that have. But there has to be a heart connection. And so that's why when we minister, when we go somewhere to minister to people who are hurting and are maybe at death's door or don't seem to see a way through because maybe people around them are saying contrary things, or maybe they don't see themselves well or healed, you need to hear from God. You see. And if there's breath in their mouth and they're alive, they can be restored. Nothing is hopeless. All things are possible to them who believe. So they can reverse. It can be reversed and changed. And so we're carriers of the good news of the gospel. And so when we come, it's important to come, not be looking like 10 miles of bad road. Oh, I'm so sorry. No, we need to come looking like, you know, I don't want to walk into a room with a, it's so good to see you. Thank you for showing up. But we don't need that. We need to come with the joy of the Lord in our heart, something to share that's going to stir them up to get over and to come through and to be restored. You see? Amen. You know, if you've never been on that end of the receiving, if you've never been on the receiving end, and you've had to receive some of that, it's not pleasant. It is not. And so you want to be sensitive when you go and minister to someone who's in that situation. You want to be very sensitive about what you say, how you say it. I'm very serious about that, because it can mean the difference between life and death for that person. That person may not even be able to speak, and they're hearing everything you say. It's the truth. And we can see them up and off those beds of sickness. And we have been given the power from on high to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. Because that healing power is within us. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to just close for a moment, but if we'll meditate on these scriptures and meditate upon the fact that the seed that is in us, the seed of God's word, cannot be destroyed in us if we don't tear it up. I don't care what you're going through. What malady, and it's important, because somebody said something in the car recently about a particular ailment or particular disease, as they call it in the natural, and they said, you know, I haven't heard of anybody being healed of that in the natural that we know of in the news. Well, you know, if you go by that, you see, that again is the problem. If we're going to go by what we hear, or we're going to base that on what we hear in the news or we don't hear in the news, then we're going to base and say, well, you know, gee, maybe it's not God's will. Baloney. Bunk. Because the word of God is sure and God changes not. If he healed all manner of diseases, all manner of diseases. And my Bible, I know about your Bible, but I know if you've got a King James Bible, we can go over to Deuteronomy 28, and we can look at verse 61, and it says, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon them until thou be destroyed. So that means to me, every sickness and every disease that's not even written in the book of this law is a curse. And if I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and the Bible says Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, then that means that I don't care what they name it, we're redeemed from it. that means if I've been redeemed from it, I'm healed of it. Is that not the truth? So, I just tell you, I don't care what they name it. If we don't tear up the seed of God's word, what does it say? It is the power of God. This gospel, this seed, is the power of God unto salvation. So if I don't tear it up and I water it, I'm going to see the results. I shall be healed of this. I mean, there's too many other scriptures that support that. So don't let experiences or no experiences or what you read or don't read base your faith on the Word of God, which is the will of God. And it doesn't change. He said, I change not. And if the Spirit of God doesn't reveal to you something that is working against the will of God, you understand what I mean by that? If he doesn't reveal to you, then you stick to it and keep feeding and keep feeding and keep feeding, and you'll walk out of it. You have the will of God on it. You have the Word of God, the promise of the Word of God that states it. And we have to take it and not budge. If God said, I change not, then I'm his child, I'm his son, I should be saying the same thing. I change not. I change not. Isn't that true? Because I'm going to be like his, the child ought to be like the parent. If he says, I change not, then neither should I. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Well, we're going to close down here. If there's any comments or thoughts other than praise God, hallelujah, that's good. That's good right there. Amen. Amen. But if you have anything that's just a burning question, then go right ahead. And we'll endeavor to answer it if we can. You know, like Pastor Sarah said, I'm not the answer man, you know. But the Bible answer man, you know. But does it ring a note with you this evening? Is your heart stirred with that? Amen. Amen. You know, so often we look at your mind, when you're walking through some symptoms or you're faced with a diagnosis, you know, I know with me, I've walked through a few and the mind starts going. And you just have to do what? Stir yourself up in the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is not going to come from here. It's going to come out of your heart, and that has to be stirred up. That has to be stirred up. That has to be stirred up. And the only way you're going to do that is you're going to have to start stirring it up with your mouth. And it may not be healing. It could be finances, whatever you might be walking through. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that strength will walk you through and keep your heart. Remember we shared in the first lesson that sometimes this heart needs to be strengthened when you walk through something. And if it's not fed, then it can become weakened. And we need to keep our hearts strong and stirred when we're in this life. We just have to. Amen. Praise God. Well, if there's no questions or comments, let's say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's just say this. I like this confession. You'll bear with me. You'll get it if we say it a few times. Christ hath redeemed me
from
the curse of the law.
Therefore,
I forbid
sickness
and disease
to come on my body.
Every disease,
every germ,
And every virus that touches my body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. Every tissue and every organ of my body functions in the perfection that God created it to function in. And I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. For greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Well, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you this evening for your word. Thank you that our hearts have been stirred. Thank you that the seed of God's word has watered and planted, been planted in our hearts. And we thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And these bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made and function and operate in the perfection that God has designed them to function in. And we forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. We glorify you and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, if anybody's here this evening...